January 14th marked 6 months since the deadly blaze at the Marco Polo high-rise in Honolulu. This week on The Conversation, we're taking a look back at the tragedy and a look at what has changed since and what has not. Just last month, crews cleaned off the soot-stained facade, but what's life like now for displaced residents? Tom and Brigitte Schmidt lived on the 26th floor where the fire broke out. Three of their neighbors down the hall died when the flames spread from 2602, where the blaze started. Tom is one of the original owners in Marco Polo, and his wife's a realtor. They don't know when they'll be able to live in their apartment again. The floor is still closed off. But they moved into another unit on another floor with the intention of buying it. But it's been tricky getting financing as companies are reluctant to commit. The Schmidts join us in the studio this morning.
Well, it's disconcerting being dislocated, and it's paralyzing to be away from your records and, you know, what you need for your daily life. So you're just out trying to assemble things to get back to normal. And 6 months is a long time.
And you folks were able to get into another unit on another floor, but not quite settled in yet.
Well, we got in another unit on another floor, but when we went in there, we didn't have a knife, a spoon, a pillow, a sheet, a towel, or anything. It was just all glazed tile, and the unit was somewhat in disrepair. But, you know, it didn't rain on our head, so we started from there.
So, yeah, this unit was originally on the market before the fire, and I told my client to pull it out from the market because it's, you know, it's a bad market after the fire. Nobody would buy it. And in the real estate, if you've been on the market too long, that means, you know, it indicates that there's something wrong in the building or in your unit. So we pulled it out from the market, and then we started moving in as tenants, and then he agreed to let us in.
Right. And then you folks had hoped to acquire the unit, but financing is pretty tricky right now.
Yeah. So we tried to apply for financing right away, but the lender says that because the common amenities, the common areas, are burned and they are damp from the water and fire damage. So they told us to wait until it's completely repaired. Then they're going to review it again.
Right. And I look back at some of the records. I recall doing stories about how some sales fell out of escrow as a result of the fire. And I believe the last sale was just a few days before the fire.
Yeah, it was 2 days before the fire. Got sold on July 12, and the fire happened on July 14. After that, there were about 10 properties that were withdrawn immediately from the market. And three of them were previously withdrawn but put back on the market about 4 months ago. And two of them are Tom's Son's listings.
Okay, right. And so we should mention that Tom's Son is a broker with Marco Polo Realty on the first floor, correct?
Yes, Davin has Marco Polo Realty.
And so you own several units in the Marco Polo?
Yes, we have four.
So share with our listeners, you folks live on the same floor and lost some of your neighbors in that fire. You were only recently able to get back there, what, to gather most of your belongings just last month?
I think last week.
Oh, it was the second week of December when they told us that we could finally get in, but we have to sign up with the front desk, and then they give us a key.
I'm sure that was very emotional going back to your unit. I know you went in there shortly after the fire, but what was that like for you folks when you walked down that hallway into your unit?
Well, it didn't have a door on the place. It was all covered up with Visqueen. And I felt very fortunate because our stuff was largely intact. And all of our neighbors, they had only ash left. They had absolutely nothing. So I feel fortunate.
But it was actually a miracle that all of our stuff are safe from the fire.
I know you mentioned that you had something on the door.
Crucifix,
that you think
that
protected.
Was from my husband's mom, who's 92 when we got it from her. And she was 100 last year.
And you put that up on your door?
Yes. So it was partially burned, but I guess it protected our home.
Now, explain to us how many units are on a floor.
So there are 17 units on each floor, and some of them are two bedrooms, some of them are studios, and some of them are one bedroom. And my husband could probably tell you how many are two bedrooms.
There's two studios, three one-bedrooms, and the balance of them are two bedrooms.
But essentially, all of the residents on that floor are displaced.
Oh, yes.
And will be for a very long time.
Yes, and just about the rest of them lost just about everything they had. There was nothing left in their unit. Just their whole unit was ash on the floor. And the appliances were melted down to, you know, two-thirds side. I mean, it was a hot fire.
So you really consider yourselves very lucky.
Very lucky.
You were not in the unit at the time, correct?
We were working. We were out in downtown, and we just received phone calls from friends saying that your building is on fire. And so we rushed into the building right away, and there was traffic on the road. And we were just looking at the 26th floor, and it was our neighbor. And Tom gave him a phone call.
Yeah, he says, "Tommy, your unit's on fire." He says, "Yeah." He says, "I know." I says, "We bought this air conditioner yesterday because our air conditioner was making a lot of noise, and I think it was the air conditioner because when my roommates left the apartment, they checked the kitchen, and there's no fire in the kitchen."
Right, and the person you talked to was one of the tenants in the unit where the fire started.
Yes, it was his unit.
And the fire department, their investigation turned up a cause of undetermined at this point. And
exactly.
I know a lot of the insurance companies are looking to see if they can find out more. But at this point, unofficially, we don't have a cause. But your neighbors said they believe it could have been the air conditioner.
They thought it was the air conditioner.
And I did happen to see on the association newsletter, they were letting folks know, look, it's Christmas time. Everybody's got trees and lights. And everybody was trying to be, I guess, mindful of potential fire-causing situations just because this has happened. You know, it just happened.
Yeah, and we also have several fire alarms drill nowadays. So, yeah, sometimes it goes at 9 o'clock, sometimes at 10 o'clock. And they just let us know that it's a false fire alarm just to make us aware and know where to go
in case
it really happens.
How many drills have you had?
They're really not drills. They're just testing the alarm system. But, you know, I've recommended they do fire drills, but it doesn't seem anything that they want to do.
And you folks have moved into another floor. And shared with me that you might have to vacate that unit for several weeks until they do work in the hallway.
Yes, that's correct.
So we were told that we have to look for a place to go to for about 6 weeks while they are repairing the hallway carpet.
So this is the second time you'll be displaced.
Yeah, and I that's completely unnecessary, you know. People can walk around the people working. They're very insensitive to people's needs or the owner's needs. I mean, these people are the owners, are working for them. They seem to have completely forgotten that they're working for the owners and they want to work at their own pace. This was work that the whole thing should have been done, I would say, in 30 to 45 days. And it's been 6 months. They haven't done any really material work yet except maybe clean up the hallways in the 26th and 27th floors.
So you're pretty frustrated.
Yeah. They should have, you know, they should have worked around the clock and got it done so everybody could have gotten back in. I don't understand this kind of behavior.
And we know of people who actually have moved into the building even though the fire triggered, you know, several sales to fall out of escrow. Some of the rents are maybe depressed, and so folks are moving into the building to take advantage of the low rent.
That's correct. So maybe about 1 week after the fire, we had a friend whose unit has been vacated by the tenants because they didn't want their little children to smell the asbestos and the lead-based paint. So they moved out, and there are a bunch of people who are moving in because they're taking advantage of the low rents. So they went down for about maybe $200 to $400 from their regular monthly rent.
So it's an interesting snapshot of where things are in the real estate picture, if you will. I also understand that there is a threshold at which the association has to have, I guess, the buy-in on installing sprinklers in. Can you talk about that, Tom?
Yes, the board of directors asked for a proxy for permission from the constituents in the building, and I think they're within 2% of what they need to get consent to put in a sprinkler system. So everybody seems to want the sprinkler system.
What percentage of buy-in do you have to have?
They have to have, I believe, 65%, and I think they have 63. So they're almost there. They'll get it, and they will put the sprinkler systems in.
Do you have a better handle on the numbers as to how much it would cost and how extensive that sprinkler system might be?
They said they don't have a plan yet, so that can't be bid yet. But we've asked some companies like Dorvin Lays to go in and put some input into the plan and make a bid. So if we can get 3-4 bids, maybe we can get something competitive we can live with.
And do you support sprinklers in the building?
Yeah, absolutely I do. Society has changed. Nobody knows how to use a sprinkler. Nobody knows how to use a fire extinguisher anymore. Nobody knows how to use a fire hose anymore. So it has to be automatic.
All right.
We built the building, everybody knew how to operate a fire extinguisher. But that was 40 years ago. Now, they're clueless.
So you're a big supporter of it. And,
yes.
And what about on the bill for mandatory sprinklers?
Yeah, I voted for it.
All right. Well, thank you, Thomas Schmidt.
Thank Gita, you.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Anything else you just want to
share just on a personal note at all? Tomorrow we're going to be doing a panel on the sprinklers. We've got the fire department in here and from the association, you know, some of the opponents. But anything else?
Yeah, the association, the insurance company, says they're not responsible for the people's relocation. I think they're absolutely responsible for the relocation because the fire was really their negligence. They didn't have fire drills. Nobody knew how to use the equipment. And they allowed people to have, you know, louvered doors open. They were clearly negligent in this matter, so they should be responsible for everybody's relocation cost and their damage. And they're completely disavowing it, which will probably end up in litigation somewhere someday.
We've been talking with Tim and Brigida Schmidt, residents of Marco Polo, whose home was on the floor where the fire broke out. Tom's a developer. His wife's a realtor. And over the many decades, Tom says he's lived in the building. He has sold and resold more than 500 units in that high rise. Next Sunday marks 6 months since the Marco Polo fire. And tomorrow in the conversation, we'll be talking about fire sprinklers and condominiums with a panel, including the Hawaii Council of Association of Apartment Owners and the Honolulu Fire Department. We'll also be taking your phone calls.